Welcome back to the Daily Drum on 96.3 WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Well, we know the economic impact of the coronavirus has been devastating. We also know that we are in the first week of the month, so your rental or your mortgage payment is probably due. If you cannot make your payment, you could be facing an eviction. The situation is being faced by folks across the nation, including right here in the DMV, and COVID-19, a big part of the problem. If you are on the verge of being evicted or trying to make sure you don't find yourself in that position, this is an important conversation for you. If you have a question or a comment, the phone lines are open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight joining us is Julian Ivey. He's a Maryland state delegate, and Kayla Williams, staff attorney with the Community Legal Services of Prince George's County. Again, the phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Again, we want to hear from you. Delegate Ivey, I'm going to start with you. Folks are out there listening. Some may be concerned about losing their apartment, especially maybe even their home. What's the first thing they should be doing? Who should they be talking to? What should they be sort of moving forward, and what's the process here?
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me on. And first and foremost, I want to let everyone know I'm right here for you. My office is here for you through these really tough, trying times. And I want to remind everyone that you do have rights. And there are some protections that are still in place. Many of the federal protections have expired. Some of the state protections are still in place, but only until August 25th. And that's when failure to pay rent proceedings will start up again. And here in the state of Maryland, right now, the Aspen Institute is predicting that if nothing changes, if the state of Maryland doesn't step in, the federal government doesn't get its act together, the 354,000 evictions could take place here in the state of Maryland. There are so many things that can be done to prevent evictions here in the state of Maryland throughout this pandemic. The Maryland General Assembly, we can extend the moratorium on evictions to extend many of those federal protections that were there. Currently, there are some protections, and I know that it's confusing as you look at different headlines coming out of the governor's mansion. There are loopholes that are in current protections. And so please keep an eye out for illegal evictions that are being threatened and evictions for any reason other than failure to pay rent. Right now, what I'm doing is calling for a special session of the General Assembly so that we can extend these protections. But right now, if you are being threatened with an eviction, whether it's legal or an illegal eviction, there's so many organizations that are out there for you to be able to reach out to and receive help from. One rock star organization for tenants' rights is actually on the call today, Community Legal Services, for Prince George's County specifically. Give them a call. CASA de Maryland, they have been doing excellent, phenomenal work throughout this pandemic, trying to SEIU 1199 as well, just been on the front line of this battle. And I'm sure that, Community Legal Services, they can give you the information that they have. My office is here for you as well. So please reach out to me. I'm absolutely here for you. This is just a horrible, tragic moment here in the state of Maryland. We can get through it if we work together on this.
Delegate Ivey, I know
you're having me on. I'm right here for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Delegate Ivey, we know, as you mentioned, that you have state moratoriums, and you had a federal moratorium. Yeah. I believe the federal moratorium ended on July 24th. And what is happening with the back and forth right now with Democrats and Republicans in Congress on trying to put a new coronavirus relief package together? Is that affecting the moratorium? Is that something that's being pushed for that to be included again in a new package? So are things kind of in a holding pattern with that?
Well, here in the state of Maryland, first and foremost, I think we should be keeping people in their homes. But it's not such a simple issue as I just stated. One thing that we do need from the federal government is not only bailout dollars for our state, but also for individuals who own the properties that are being rented out, because that's a huge issue for, you know, there are so many individuals who own, you know, maybe they have two homes and they rent the second one out. And this is not, you know, the big real estate developer that just has millions and millions of dollars that they can use to get by as we go through this really trying time. But, of course, we need the federal government to get its act together. I don't feel to do just to cross our fingers and hope and pray that Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell come to Jesus. They've shown us time and time again that they won't. And so, tragically, I think that it's going to take some really tough realities to get these individuals to move, to shift their positioning, their posture. But here in the state of Maryland, we should be doing everything that we can to keep our residents in their homes. And I think down the line, the money will be figured out.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight, our focus is if you're worried about being evicted from your home, from your apartment, legislation, much of it is expiring. The moratoriums on property owners not evicting those who are renting from their properties. Kayla Williams, again, is a staff attorney with the Community Legal Services of Prince George's County, Maryland. Ms. Williams, what kind of stories are you hearing? What kind of cases are you dealing with? We know that the state had put up at least $30 million for programs for rental assistance, for education through the CARES program. But again, that's sort of only a drop in the bucket in many instances. So what are you seeing in your offices at this time?
Absolutely, and thanks for having me. So at this time, unfortunately, we are seeing a lot where we're receiving a lot of calls from tenants who are experiencing illegal evictions. So whether that be landlords turning off water services, electricity, not going through the court, changing locks, even threatening to conduct an illegal eviction is considered illegal under the statute. And unfortunately, for those cases, there's no quick remedy. The statute provides that you can file a suit against your landlord for damages, but that's not going to help you recover your property or your belongings back. In terms of the court, you know, the court's slowly reopening, so we're not having as many cases yet. Right now, the court's only hearing, they're not hearing started to pay rent. They're hearing tenant holding over, breach of lease, and some wrongful detainer cases. Most of those cases, there's some defenses that you can raise. However, the tenant holding over case is what we're most concerned about. Currently, Governor Hogan.
And if you can, Ms. Williams, explain to folks what that means in layman's term,
sure.
The tenant holding over case.
A tenant holding over case is when a landlord is stating that your lease has expired and that they've given you the required notice, whether that be 30 or 60 days, and that the tenant still resides in the property. Mm-hmm. So that then requires them to file a case with the court called a tenant holding over case. The courts are currently hearing those, but that is the one case that Governor Hogan's order does not provide a defense for. The order allows for defense for failure to pay rent and for breach of lease hearing if a tenant is suffering from substantial loss of income. However, it does not mention tenant holding over cases. So we are extremely concerned. One good thing about Prince George's County, though, is they did come out with a recent bill that prohibits late fees and certain evictions and non-payment of rent cases until at least August 31st. So that's kind of buying us some time, but there's still a lot of concerns about illegal eviction. We get some tenants who are they're so far in debt that the organizations that have funding are finding it difficult to service those individuals.
And Delegate Ivy, it does not mean that if you're behind that you will not eventually have to pay your rent. I guess it sort of goes into a holding spot. But you had mentioned earlier about that you wanted a special session called to address this issue. How likely is that to happen?
Well, I think that, you know, it'll be far more likely when the pain of the people of Maryland is being voiced to their representatives, to leadership in the House and the Senate. It's not something that you can just ignore when hundreds of thousands of people are at risk of being evicted or foreclosed on. And so, you know, right now we're still waiting to see if leadership is going to step up to the plate and provide these protections for these largely, you know, women of color and single families, quite frankly, that could be evicted en masse here in the state of Maryland. So we actually have a large coalition behind us now. 74 organizations have signed on, calling on leadership to step up and keep people in their homes through this pandemic. So I actually am looking forward to us reconvening for a special session, and I think that it is very likely, just because it's something that you can't really defend and you can't explain it. We are Democrats here in the state of Maryland. We have control of both chambers in the General Assembly. We can go in and we can fix all of these issues that we're talking about, and it wouldn't even be very difficult. The tough part right now is getting leadership to agree that we should be taking this issue seriously and reconvening for a special session.
And tonight what we're talking about is dealing with the possibility of evictions from your home, from your rental apartment. COVID-19 legislation, again, has been put on the books federally and statewide, pretty much across the nation. Many of those moratoriums are expiring, and we know that Congress right now is going back and forth in trying to settle on some new coronavirus relief package legislation. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'd like to hear from you if you are dealing with this issue. Let's go to those phone lines now, and Jade Sola is calling from Hyattsville. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, sir. Good evening to good all evening. Of you. I just want to let you know that I am very grateful for what you are pursuing and what you have been doing. I am a single mom and a struggling college student, and my baby boy is a year old, and my job went down a little bit before the COVID, and I had to really ask the family support worker of my child's daycare program, which is the Lori Center, to please help because I had no one to turn to apart from my church, which is the Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints, and they have other members that they need to help. So, you know, during all this time, they would leave eviction letters by my door. If I bring my baby back from the center, it's always a rush to want to evict us or throw us out. You know, I even explained to them about COVID and how it had delayed my work. And
so, Jay Sola, have you reached out for any help within you? You said you live in Prince George's County. Is that correct?
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah. I did. I reached out to the rent relief team. I called them, I emailed them. No one seems to ever get back with me. It becomes very frustrating to try to, you know, bring my crisis to them.
Well, let me let our guests try to if they can dive into that a little bit. And Kayla, I don't know if Jay Sola gave you enough information to get a sense of what her issue is, but I think the hard part here is that as we've mentioned at the top, there are sort of different variations of the laws and the stipulations, and whether you're FHA, Fannie Mae, whether you're in a HUD property, whether or not you can prove that you've lost your work because of COVID-19. So I would think as an attorney dealing with cases like Jade Sola, it's not really as simple as, you know, ABC. Would that be correct?
Possibly, yes. And I think in some of these cases as well, the landlord has the burden of proving whether or not their client, the landlord, is providing housing under one of those programs. So when they file these complaints, they should be filing an affidavit saying that they're in compliance with the CARES Act or whether the house is exempt. But I would recommend, if you're calling from Prince George's County, to give our office a call. We assist tenants every day. You can also contact Maryland Legal Aid, the Self-Help Center. But I'll say this. A landlord can give you a notice to vacate, but in my eyes, it's considered a request to vacate. After that notice period expires, the landlord is then required to file a case with the court, and that is where an attorney can help you raise a defense. So if you've lost your income due to COVID-19, then we could assist with raising the governor's defense regarding the substantial loss of income. So give us a call, and there's several organizations that are available to assist you.
Okay, Jade Sola, I hope that helps, and best of luck to you. Delegate Ivey, I know some legislators in the state are sort of calling what you're calling for the legislature to be reconvened. Some are calling for Governor Hogan to extend the moratorium on foreclosures in Maryland until like January of 2021. Hogan is seen as a fairly centrist, I would say, Republican governor right now. And you mentioned earlier that you control both houses, Democrats do, in Annapolis. And so how likely is it that you can get something done with the governor? I think you're veto-proof sort of right now in the legislature, right? So is it better, though, to have the governor go along or have the governor issue some kind of an executive order? Or is that not enough also to sort of try to get the ball rolling and sort of deal with some of these issues that are happening now in the moment? I know we only have a couple of moments to break.
Well, I'll say that Governor Hogan was at least good at masquerading as a middle-of-the-road politician. As of late in the last few months, he's taken a hard tack to the right, as he's made it very clear that he has national ambitions. He'd like to run for president. He's trying to sell books right now, and you see the way that he's handling our election process, that he's trying to act as if this is some sort of normal election cycle, and it's not. He's actually disenfranchising voters right here in the state of Maryland, and people haven't really noticed because they have other things, more pressing issues that they're paying attention to. Governor Hogan, the stroke of one pen, could extend the moratoriums on these evictions, on foreclosures. He could do so much good with his pen using executive orders, but he's decided time and time again to not do that. And it's because he's trying to make the case to Republican voters nationwide and Republican donors that, you know, he is a Republican and that he does have Republican ideals. And he's implementing those right here in Maryland as we speak. It would be easier if he would sign these executive orders, but he's made it very clear that when it comes to police brutality, he's not going to do it. When it comes to
hold your thought, Delegate Ivey, because I see you got a list there that you're going to go down. I don't want to cut you off and not give you a chance to sort of finish expounding on that, because we're going to take a break. If you're on the phone line, stay right there. We will get to you. We're going to continue this conversation dealing with evictions, coronavirus, money issues, what all that means and how all that really is coming together. So we're going to continue on SiriusXM channel 141. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, SiriusXM channel 141. I am Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment, and tonight we are talking about dealing with the possibility of being evicted from your home if the economic crisis caused by COVID-19 has hit you and you are having trouble paying your mortgage, paying your rent. What are the services out there to help you? How should you be educated about the resources that are there and the options that you have? An important conversation. Phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight, Kayla Williams. She's the staff attorney with the Community Legal Services of Prince George's County, Maryland, and Delegate Julian Ivey, again, Maryland State Delegate. So we thank you both for joining us. 202-319-7810. When we flipped over from the other side, Delegate Ivey, we were talking about Governor Hogan, and you were saying that so much more that he has the power to do, and though known as a centrist governor, you believe he is moving more to the right, and that is affecting his policies, such as dealing with this moratorium on evictions and those related to the coronavirus. Would I be accurate in saying that's what you feel?
Absolutely. And more so than just a thought on it, He's not listening to health experts. He's encouraging different county executives and the mayor of Baltimore to open up their jurisdictions before the data tells them that it's something safe for them to do. It's also understood that this is a humanitarian crisis that we're on the verge of. You can't have individuals be evicted or foreclosed on, pushed out into homelessness during a public health crisis. We know that we need to get rid of this virus, and the way that we can do that is through social distancing. And it's very tough when you don't have a home to do that from.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Phone lines are open. Let's go to the phone lines now. Stacy is calling in from Waldorf. Go right ahead, Stacy, with your question or comment.
Yes. Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, I'm on the Governor Hogan also. He's not going to do a thing for the residents of Prince George's County. Where my daughter lives, she lives in Prince George's County, and they're already evicting people. She said just last week, Thursday, I believe, 7 people got evicted because of this virus, because they can't pay their rent. And that's so unfair. You know, I'm not understanding this governor. He's not going to do anything to help Prince Georgians, I don't think. That's my opinion. But even before this stuff happens, going along with the schools, I tried to talk to him about my grandson's school that he was attending. I couldn't even talk to him. He wouldn't even talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
So what would make us think that he's going to help us with this virus situation?
Well, Kayla Williams, staff attorney with the Community Legal Services of Prince George's County. Again, let's go back to sort of educating ourselves on what options that we have. If Stacy's daughter was evicted, and I probably should have asked Stacy before we lost her, if her eviction came after July 24th, and after the moratorium may have ended, does that mean that the county or the person, the renter, can legally evict her daughter? I mean, is there some sense of where the person who's renting the property can legally do what they're doing? I'm assuming it's all not illegal.
Absolutely. That's the unfortunate part. So before the courts closed, there were orders that were eviction orders that were already entered. And so once that state moratorium went into effect, of course, those orders were stayed. The sheriff's office could not act on those orders, could not conduct evictions. But unfortunately, after July 25th, the date that the moratorium lifted, all of the orders that weren't processed before the courts closed can now be processed, assuming the tenant has not said, if there was a failure to pay rent case. Of course, sheriffs aren't acting on failure to pay rent cases, but they're acting on the other cases that had been, or the other orders that were processed. So unfortunately, mm-hmm. Yes, some of them are legally being conducted at this time. And unfortunately, the current protections are not extending to beyond when the courts first closed, beyond before that moratorium took effect.
So Stacy's daughter really would have no recourse. Or very little, I would assume.
Yeah, it depends. It depends on if her landlord already obtained an order. You can always file a motion. So if, for whatever reason, if you believe that an order was entered against you, but now something has happened in which you're asking for the court to revisit that order, you can get assistance with filing a motion, and the court will likely grant you a hearing. They might not, they might not grant your request, but they'll hear you out.
Delegate Ivy, is this an issue that is particular to maybe certain regions of the state? Is your sense that you see this problem across the spectrum of Maryland, or is it more sort of prominent in certain sections of the state?
Well, this is a crisis that is going to cross party lines. It's going to cross county lines as well. But we know that this is going to hit Prince George's extremely hard. We remember the last housing crisis that we just got out of. Many of us haven't completely recovered from the 08-09 housing crisis. This is going to be a more drastic version of that if we don't act now, because we have so many families, 354,000 families, that could be evicted And as Kayla was mentioning, there's a backlog that, you know, is already in the queue. There are individuals who are going to be getting new paperwork saying, hey, yes, you're going to be evicted on this date. The date to watch out for is August 25th. And that's when the new wave of evictions will begin. That's when failure to pay rent cases are going to be heard. That's when the large number of these evictions are going to start taking place. It's not only going to impact Prince George's. It's going to hit across the state, but it's going to hit us particularly hard. And you have to remember as well, COVID-19 struck our county harder than any mm-hmm. other jurisdiction in the state.
And so connect, if you can, the dots with the county executive coming out, you know, a few days ago, talking about gatherings, talking about illegal parties, pushing the wearing of masks. Does that play any connection into what we're talking about, even when we're talking about evictions and COVID-19 and rental properties and being able to pay your rent? Those, I would assume, that they aren't disconnected.
They're not disconnected. Of course, we all need to be following the rules, the guidelines. We got to beat this virus. Wear a mask and socially distance when you can. But move beyond that to the things that you can't control. So many individuals were told that they can't go into work because the government said that they can't. Therefore, they're not getting the paycheck. Now the unemployment benefits expired. Mm-hmm. And so thing that's going to explode on us right now if we don't take this by the reins. But I think, you know, focusing on making sure they don't go to parties, that's to get infection rate down, that's to beat the virus. We also need to make sure we don't allow for another plague to sweep through our county, and that being the housing crisis and eviction crisis. That's what we're talking about here today.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about how to make sure you're not put in a position where you're evicted from your home. If that is about to happen, what recourse do you have? Where can you go for help? Who can you talk to? What are the services out there? We're talking about that tonight. Let's go back to the phone lines, and Dina is calling from Fort Washington. Go right ahead, Dina, with your question or comment.
Yes, hello?
Hello, go right ahead, Dina.
Okay, yes, I was saying that we've been living in this townhouse that we live in Fort Washington for 4 years, and the landlord just told us that we had to move out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So she said that she was going to give us 60 days, and then all of a sudden she got an agent, a real estate agent, and she said that we had 30 days. So I called the owner and asked her, I said, well, we need more time, so she gave us 45 days. And we applied for another townhouse, but we didn't get it. So right now, we don't have nowhere to go. And so I was wondering if we could get some kind of help.
Oh, let me let Ms. Williams address that. Ms. Williams, here's that situation we were talking about, right? That mm-hmm. I guess they gave her 30 days. She asked for 60 days, but legally, 30 days is it. Does she have, you know, any recourse? Is there any help for her?
So in terms of that 30-day notice, you want to look at your lease, because your lease usually provides how much notice either you or your landlord have to give in order to terminate the contract. But again, even though they've given you notice to vacate, that does not make you legally required to vacate. You're not required to vacate unless the landlord files a case with the court and obtains an order and a warrant of restitution. So there's a court process. So if you have individual questions about a case that may be coming up, feel free to give Community Legal Services a call. There's Maryland Legal Aid. There's a few organizations that can provide representation and advice. Also, the Maryland Court Self-Help Center is great. They provide legal advice as well.
So Kayla, is this the case, regardless of any COVID-19 legislation, about what an owner has to do to evict someone, or is this especially related to COVID-19, what you're talking about, where the owner has to go into court, the owner has to apply for this and that?
Because when I hear that,
before you jump in, if I'm owning a property, I'm saying, Ms. Williams, listen, these folks have signed a lease. you know, the lease is up. I don't want to renew it. I can ask them to leave. Or if they haven't been paying their rent and we're past July 24th, I mean, don't the owners have, you know, I'm sort of playing the other side. Don't the owners have some rights? Because it almost sounds as if it kind of leans the other way. Am I reading that wrong?
So not quite. Keep in mind that whenever you're renting, and I'm speaking particularly to commercial, I'm sorry, to residential properties, because commercial properties, I believe that may be the only time when you're not required to go to court. You may just be able to change locks. Not quite sure. But in the context of residential properties, a landlord is always, always required, even before COVID-19, to go through the court. And so I tell landlords this. I say, whenever you're renting property, that's considered investment property. There's always a possibility for a loss to be associated. Mm-hmm. And when you go to rent court, it almost seems more skewed to the landlords, because there's very few defenses that tenants can raise, especially when they're dealing with some type of financial hardship. So I would always like to assume that landlords are consulting with lawyers before they're actually carrying out evictions, making these decisions, because I think if you consult with the lawyer first, that could save you a lot of time, money, and possible lawsuits.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, our phone number tonight. We want to hear from you. We're talking about evictions, and are you dealing with that? Is COVID-19 affecting your pocket, which it is doing for many folks, and you're having a tough time paying your rent, having a tough time paying your mortgage, and do you have any options? Can you get any help if you're about to be put out on the street, as many of our callers are already saying? So we want to hear from you, and we've got some guests tonight to help guide us and maybe offer you some information that will be helpful. We're going to take a quick time out, but when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation right here on Insight. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. We know what the coronavirus is doing health-wise to folks all over the world, not just necessarily here in the United States, but we also know what it is doing economically. It has had a severe impact. Folks are losing jobs, losing income, applying for unemployment. $600 extra per week is right now kind of in the holding state. That has expired, and yet you're still trying to pay your rent, trying to pay your mortgage. Can you stay in that home if you have a problem with paying your rent or mortgage? Moratoriums were set up to allow you to do that, but many of those moratoriums have now expired. So you're in a tough spot. We're talking about your options tonight. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight, Julian Ivey, Maryland State Delegate, and Kayla Williams, Staff Attorney with the Community Legal Services of Prince George's County. Delegate Ivy, I know often you probably get a lot of questions about where can I go to get information about this? Where can I go to get information about that? If folks came to you and said, Delegate Ivy, I'm one of these people that are on the cusp of possibly being evicted, where can I go to get information? You represent my district. What do I do? Who should I talk to? Should I talk to you? Should I go to the website? Should I make a phone call? Should I contact the governor? What advice would you give them?
Well, quite frankly, you should do all of the above. You should reach out to your local officials and let them know the situation that you're in, that you're going through. You should reach out to services like Legal Services Corporation. You should reach out to CASA. And you should also go to Maryland.gov. They have a lot of good information there. And you can also go to the website that will tell you so much more information as well, coming from the court side of this. And you should also reach out to your sheriff just to see if an eviction notice was something that was done the right way, if it went through the proper procedures and protocols, just so you know whether or not this is a legal eviction or if it's not. Because if it isn't, then you actually do have some protections on your side. And you have people that you can reach out to talking about the law enforcement agencies and also the other organizations that I listed. But this is such a trying time. There are so many different individuals reaching out for help, but there are also individuals who have not been reaching out, and they've just been kind of trying to figure out how to do things on their own. And to those individuals, I would say to reach out, to raise your voice and ask for help. Reach out to your church. Reach out to your elected officials. It's all hands on deck as we go through this just tragedy of a period here. And also, if you have specific questions and you're calling in, Ms. Kayla has wonderful insight. The organization that she's with has just been on the ground, the front line, doing this work for so long here in Prince George's and across the state.
Ms. Williams, is it different if you are renting a home versus, say, renting an apartment, like you're renting from a company versus renting from an individual? Are there different circumstances, instances, how you deal with that, or is it pretty much still all the same?
It's pretty much the same. What I will say, though, is I often get more of the calls regarding illegal evictions from private homeowners versus the big commercial landlords, because usually the commercial landlords can afford lawyers, so they're going about the process the correct way. So I would encourage landlords, private and, you know, commercial, to just consult with lawyers, because oftentimes you want the same thing. And what my job entails usually is just trying to reach an agreement, because sometimes there isn't really a defense, but perhaps we can reach some agreement that works for both parties. And the courts always appreciate that. And in terms of
No, go right ahead.
I was going to say, in terms of resources, I would encourage people to check out the People's Law Library. They break down all of the statutes into simple terms, and they also have COVID-19 updates. The Maryland Courts website is a great resource as well. They have all of the court moratoriums and the orders simplified for you. Also, evictionlab.org, they have the moratoriums and state and federal protections for every state, essentially. So it's a great resource.
And if you are one who is in that position where you are subject to being evicted, what kind of conversation should you have with your landlord? Is there a prototypical one?
I mean, you want to make sure that they're going about the process the correct way. So you want to review your lease. You want to see if, you know, the Prince George's County Council bill also provides that landlords in certain situations should be trying to reach payment agreements and payment arrangements with tenants. So I would see if you can come up with some type of payment arrangement. Make sure that you can advocate for yourself. So make sure that you're going to the county's website and you're seeing which laws are available to you. So if your landlord is charging you late fees or is charging you a rent increase, you understand that in Prince George's County at this time, they can't do that in certain cases. And also, our Community Legal Services Facebook page, we have Tenant Tuesday. So often we'll have PowerPoint presentations, and we'll just go over some of the laws that are particularly important to know now. So feel free to visit our page and get some additional information.
Delegate Ivy, is there a clear mandate? Is there a clear sort of a coalition of legislators who want to see the type of legislation that you've talked about in our conversation pushed forward? Do you get the sense that there is, or is there a lot of debate in terms of particulars, as we know, you know, politics is the art of compromise?
Right. And so there is certainly consensus on extending the moratoriums on evictions and foreclosures at the very least until we get back into session. In January. But whether or not we're going to take up larger ticket items of, you know, providing more rent relief, which is really what we need to be doing as well, but would come with a price tag that's fairly steep as well. That's where you get into the disagreements and the conversations and the compromise inevitably that would come from it. But everyone agrees that we need to at least keep people in their homes. And when I say everyone, I mean the Democratic coalition that really controls the General Assembly. The only hiccup that we're facing right now is whether or not we're actually going to go back into special session. And it would be so much easier if the governor would just sign executive orders extending the moratoriums that we've already had discussions over. But instead, he's appearing to not being willing to do that. So we do have to step up. We have to go back in the session, reconvene, so we can keep people in their homes. It's something that we agree on. We don't agree on everything. There are different things I think we should be doing, providing more relief for renters and landlords specifically. But there is consensus on keeping people in their homes. But first, we have to get back into session.
Ms. Williams, does the laws or evictions and COVID-19, does that reach those who are in Section 8 housing?
Yes. Particularly the CARES Act. Well, I'm not sure. The CARES Act might be separate, but mm-hmm. yes, there are protections for Section 8 individuals. Yes.
And so I'm sorry, go right ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just you have to seek out those resources. So the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, they have a lot of resources regarding federal programs and federal mm-hmm. Protections, but also Maryland has some protections as well.
And the next question I had for you, just in sheer dollars, if I was having problems paying my rent, you know, we've talked about here are the services that you can go to for advice, to kind of help lead you in terms of legal services and things of that nature. Is there anything out there where there's a pot of money if I need some help in the short term paying my rent or my mortgage? And this question is probably can go to you and Delegate Ivy.
Sure. So I'll speak particularly to renters. You can contact your county council member because oftentimes they'll have a list of resources and they may have even been allocated money. There's also a lot of nonprofits, so your churches, there's a few other organizations. Unfortunately, I've had tenants just call and say that these organizations have run out or, that the money, because unfortunately, these rent has been accruing since mm-hmm. March. So some tenants are so far behind that they're just finding it more difficult to find assistance. But Catholic Charities, Salvation Army, there are some resources available.
And Delegate Ivy, are there any that you're aware of from a state or local perspective? If folks are literally looking for monies.
Yeah, for dollars, absolutely. But there, quite frankly, are not enough to go around. The governor appropriated $30 million, which is really just a Band-Aid when we need stitches on this issue here. Pennsylvania appropriated $175 million towards rental relief funding. $30 million is inadequate. The city of Baltimore appropriated $13 million just for the city alone. Mm-hmm. If you divide the $30 million up between the individuals who need the money, you're only coming up to a couple hundred bucks per household. Mm-hmm. And so there are services out there, there are resources out there, but they are beginning to run dry, as Kayla mentioned. But please keep on reaching out to them, reach out to us, and hopefully we can get more money for rental relief in the future.
And Delegate Ivy, if folks are out there listening and they want to reach out to you and get in touch with you, how would they do so?
You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, Delegate Ivy, Delegate Julian Ivy. My email address is julian.ivy@house.state.md.us. I'm right here for you. My staff, we work all day, every day, working on these specific issues that we've been discussing. So please reach out to me, and I'll get you in contact with people who can help you for your specific need.
And Kayla Williams, any resources or how folks can reach the Community Legal Services of the county?
Yes, absolutely. You can visit our website at www.clspgc.org, or you can give us a call at 240-391-6370.
Kayla Williams, staff attorney with the Community Legal Services of Prince George's County, Maryland, and Julian Ivy, a Maryland state delegate. We thank you both so much for joining us and adding to the conversation and your expertise. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That's the Daily Drum for this Monday, August 3rd. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Have a fantastic night.